When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Don Anderson, 97 on the ticket. Happy holidays, everybody. Christmas week. Enjoy time with family and friends. 248-539-9797. It helps when the Detroit Lions football team wins again, and this time 34-17 over the Chicago Bears. Setting up a stretch run when you couple it with Philly losing. The only thing that would have made it perfect is if Minnesota had also lost. And there's a lot of people chumping Seattle for not coming through in that game. By the way, 9-3 this weekend, Gator and I picking games. 9-3. We're both well over 500 now. Finishing strong here with If I Bet It. 248-539-9797.
Doing what we can.
Yep. Got an update on Jalen Hurts. This is interesting. It's from Jeff McClain, who is a reporter for The Inquirer in Philly and does a podcast and covers the Eagles. I'm trying to interpret this, and I want you and Kang to help me. Regarding Jalen Hurts' concussion, he'll be in protocol, which could limit him once practice or walkthrough start on Wednesday. You'd like your quarterback to take all the reps before the game. Then he writes this, but it's important to note that players increasingly return the game after a concussion, i.e. Sidney Brown and Britton Covey for the Eagles, most recently Zach Ertz this weekend for the Commanders. Now, the way he wrote this, it's important to note that players increasingly return the game after a concussion. Is he saying that the Eagles have put concussed players back in games because they weren't that serious, or they passed the sideline test? And then he's pointing out that Hurts they did not put back in. But the way he wrote it is, it's important to note that players increasingly return the game after a concussion. I think he means return to the game. But I feel like the implication from this is that it might be a rather serious concussion.
I don't know. I don't know how to take it. It's obviously it's a big blow to Philadelphia if he's unable to play in the next week. I know Kenny Pickett came in and he did okay in the game yesterday. I still like Kenny Pickett, but it's a different type of quarterback altogether. I mean, Jalen Hurts is a dual threat and one of the better running quarterbacks in the league, and they really have that offense going when he's there. But with him out, that's a big blow to them. But they have to be really careful, because if nobody's conceding anything, right? But if Philadelphia, if they, let's say, in their mind in a little bit, just kind of concede, okay, we're not going to be the number one seed.
Yep.
Then what's best for Philadelphia is to just be as healthy as you can be for the playoffs. And maybe resting Jalen Hurts is the smartest thing to do.
Kang, how do you interpret that tweet?
All right. So you always get kind of like in a gray area when you try to do stuff like this, but we'll do it anyways, because it, you know, I think it's so important to what the Lions are trying to do, achieve the number one seed. I think that what he's trying to say, Doug, or write is that he's not going to be able to prepare because he's in protocol this week.
Right.
But with the way the NFL is, even if you're in protocol during the week, players regularly play the next game.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So if he gets cleared before their next game at any point, he's probably going to play, because players like Zach Ertz and other players around the league, even though they suffer a concussion in a game, leave the game in protocol the entire week.
Don't practice.
Don't practice, but they still play the following week.
We don't know what the lingering symptoms might be, severity of this thing.
Well, it changes by the person.
Yeah, it's concussions are so hard to understand. Even the foremost authorities on them say, look, they're still hard to measure. They're still hard to diagnose. But hopefully he's okay. And I mean that sincerely. Philly might not really be our biggest concern as far as the one seed is. It's clearly Minnesota at this point. And it's wild. The difference between being the one seed and not is so punitive. Dropping to the five seed and having to go on the road. It's hard to imagine this Lions team potentially having to do that. But if it comes down to the last game, they may have to win it or else.
Yeah, going on the road and playing an extra game. You know, like theoretically, the Lions right now are three home games away from the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's a big difference. And that's from the one seed down to the five. It changes. That's if you're the one seed. But as far as the injuries is concerned, like, you know how we have all these internet doctors now, guys, breaking down every injury from across the league. And they'll go, hey, this looks like an MCL that's 3 to 6, da-da-da. And every player is different, but they can give you a decent range. Concussions are a completely different ball game. Not only is every player in person different, but it's a concussion. You have no idea how their brain is being affected right now by what just happened on the field. So they can't go, oh, looks like mild concussion, out 2 weeks. Like, you can't do that with every individual.
248-539-9797. Let's go to Aaron in Sterling Heights. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How are you? Certainly have come to enjoy these locker room celebrations after these wins, and there were some dynamics yesterday that nobody's talked about but was pretty interesting. So when Coach Campbell goes out to give out the game ball, he throws it to St. Brown, and St. Brown kind of gestures to give it to Jamison Williams, who I think could have been given a game ball with 143 yards and the touchdown. But Coach Campbell specifically says, no, 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 it's yours, right? And then so I think the disciplinary stuff didn't stop with the reaming on the sideline. I think he rated a game ball, but Coach Campbell didn't give him one. And then interestingly enough, usually the guy that gets the game ball is the one who breaks him down afterwards. Well, Amon-Ra St. Brown let Jamison Williams break him down after that. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting thing that nobody had brought up yet.
Yeah, we hadn't, and I saw that, and I do wonder if Dan Campbell would say, you know, yeah, the guy was great, but I'm not going to give you a game ball if you get a personal foul.
Exactly.
Right. Is that a message being sent?
I want to be careful here. I don't want to make this into a big deal. J-Mo was great yesterday.
Yeah.
He was great. So, you know, I don't want this to take over the show.
He got flagged for something that I don't think many players would get flagged for.
And I just want to point this out, too. Like, I don't think Jamison Williams is some kind of loose cannon. He had history with this player. And I got to tell you, I think it was borderline late hit that he took. That was what he was upset about. So it wasn't like he just all of a sudden.
Which is what I thought the flag was for.
Yeah, me too, kind of. But, he's got history with that player. That player tripped him purposely on the sidelines a few weeks ago that the NFL fined Stevenson for.
Yep.
So there's some history there. But with that being said, I do want to keep it. He's got to keep his emotions in check and not hurt the team.
Now, the other thing is, okay, St. Brown statistically didn't have this amazing game, right? But he had a nice game. The touchdown he got, I mean, the way he knifed his way through on what looked like it was a play dead in the water, and he knifes his way through for the touchdown. It was a big touchdown at that time.
Yep.
The catch that he had late in the game to keep the clock going, unfortunately, they went three and out right after that. But it was a big catch that he made because he's just clutch. It is what he is. And he also caught his 100th pass of the season. So milestone there for him, and he's one of only a couple of players in the last 5 years to have 100 catches with over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns in back-to-back years. So good for St. Brown. You can see why he would have been given a ball. I think it's more of a milestone game than anything else, but also rewarding him for just being as clutch as he is.
248-539-9797. We'll get to more of your phone calls and feedback, more of your champ and chump votes. And I got to appreciate two, one on offense and one on defense. Two guys that I think really, really had good days and picked a good time to have a good day. We will get to that today at 11:20 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. There you go. There you go. That's our guy. And J-Mo getting loose. This is what you're looking for, right? This is exactly what you expect to get out of Jameson Williams, who had another, I mean, he had a tough catch in traffic as well to go with it, had a huge game. And here we are. Here we are, the Detroit Lions back on track, got their mojo back. Feedback coming in to the Carson Anderson inbox, bunch of champ and chump votes. Champ, Ricky Henderson, weird as heck, but one of the best athletes I ever saw. Chump SMU, thanks for showing up. That's from John Lake Orion.
Yeah, Ricky's passing, one of the great baseball players of our time.
I was recently, it's weird because in the last couple of months, I was talking to my kids about how Ricky Henderson's quotes are some of the best. So we Google searched and just started reading them. And I think my favorite Ricky Henderson quote that I'd never heard before is, "Ricky don't like when Ricky can't find Ricky's limo."
That's a pretty good
yep.
quote. He don't.
Nope.
He don't. But what a player he was. I mean, back in that era, had over 3,000 hits, was a career .279 hitter, but his on-base percentage over his career, .401. Mm-hmm. And was he the last great base stealer? I mean, he had 3 years where he had 100 stolen bases in a year, including 130 back in 1982. He was just fantastic as a base stealer.
You know you're legendary when your stories, like, they start getting twisted over time. Like, the stories about you and the, my favorite one, I don't think is even true, is the John Olerud story.
Oh, where Olerud...
Tell it, Doug.
So, Olerud... Olerud and Ricky played together in
New York, the
New
Mets.
York with the Mets.
Yeah, I think.
And Olerud was somewhat stood out because he wore a helmet in the field. Like, he had a hard helmet, but not a batting helmet. It looked like a hat, but it was a hard helmet.
And I know he had suffered like an aneurysm or something.
There was something. Yeah, there was something like that. So years later, Olerud is in Toronto and Ricky Henderson gets, you know, traded to or signs with the Blue Jays. And Ricky walks up to him and he goes, "I used to play with a dude that wore a helmet on the field, just like you." And Olerud was like, yeah, Ricky, it was me.
Ricky used to play with a guy like that.
So he was at Toronto first.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, he was at Toronto in 1993 and then goes to the Mets in 1999. That is hysterical, isn't it?
So wait, there was only 4 years in between? You said 89 and 93?
93 and 99. Oh, so okay, 6 years in between. But still, I mean, I used to play with a guy that wore a helmet. Played first base. He's left-handed.
Dude.
Hit a lot of doubles.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, what Ricky don't like when Ricky can't find Ricky's limo. 248-539-9797. As far as SMU, he jumped SMU. I can't remember the last time, Gator, where I sincerely, like, felt awful for a player. I felt awful for Kevin Jennings, the quarterback at SMU, who threw three picks. A couple of them were bad. One was bad luck. But it was... downset, hut, run for your life. Every single drop back. He just was under duress the entire game. And I started to sincerely feel bad for Kevin Jennings. I mean, Penn State dominated and deserved a win. Don't get me wrong. And I'm somewhat happy for the B1G. But Jennings, man. That guy, talk about combat pay. Talk about post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, that was a rough day. I agree with you. I kind of felt bad for him, too.
Yep.
I felt dirty rooting for James Franklin from both a gambling standpoint and also for Big Ten pride standpoint. but they handled their business.
Yep.
That was one of your picks, right?
I joked, you know how much I respect James Franklin. You had the under.
I had the under.
And I had... Penn State minus 8.5.
Yeah, and they handled their business. Penn State looked really, really good and really dominant.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, SMU, one of those teams that people say, oh, they shouldn't have been there.
Stop it. Just stop with the, okay, then get rid of playoff teams. Like, make it smaller.
No, we need to make it bigger, Doug.
That's
need to expand it more.
That's the crazy thing is,
we need more SEC teams.
There's more evidence that we should make it smaller, and yet the most likely outcome is that we're going to make it bigger.
That's incredible.
Phil's in Garden City, and he's next on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Phil!
All right. Great Lions win yesterday.
Sure was.
Hey, so injuries. Just talking about injuries. We got Melifonwu back.
Yep. Yep.
Melifonwu is, to me, he's better. He's got the safety blitz down. It's so awesome, man.
Well, it's a player that, I mean, you got to give him credit. He did have a sack. He had a quarterback hit. He had four tackles. And I thought looked better than I expected him to look. He looked active.
And he's only going to be better as he gets more practice time under his belt.
Yeah, and adds another dimension to that defensive backfield that hits great and run support. Just a great game. And just real quickly, just so if I can add it, Lions are so much fun. Even Strahan, I was watching the post game, and Strahan's like, the Lions are fun to watch.
Yep.
So I'm so glad they're our team, man. You guys have a great holiday.
Yep. All right, thank you. You too.
100% agree. Glad they're our team.
Yes, and they are fun to watch. Offensively, they're great, but defensively, even without a pass rush, and I'm getting annoyed that there's no pass rush, I love how the secondary plays. I love how they support the run. These guys are fearless taking out the running backs or, you know, fighting through the blocks of the receivers to get and make a tackle. I love that. Adding Melifonwu back to this team, you saw, I mean, when Carlton Davis went down with a broken jaw, might be gone, likely for the playoffs as well. We'll see. But devastating blow. There goes another starting corner, and you know, you see other guys get dinged up, and next thing you know, you see more Vildor than you want to see. Mm-hmm. But Melifonwu coming back allows Brian Branch to go and play slot corner, where he played a lot last year and was very good at it. It allows Amik Robertson to go from slot corner to corner, or to outside corner, or whatever they want to, call it. And he was pretty good. So the secondary isn't better without Carlton Davis, but they're better off than you thought they might be because Melifonwu is back, and that helps so many other things out. Branch is a better safety than Melifonwu, there's no question about it, right? But you can shuffle these guys around and still find a way to play winning football defensively, which is what they did yesterday.
248-539-9797. All right, so two guys I want to point out that, you know, just start the appreciation thread. One is Christian Mahogany.
Yeah.
I'm going to be intrigued to see what they have to say about him after the film, because this is a player that spent much of this year hurt, and this is a player that I don't know that we had huge expectations for, but they were not slowed down by having Mahogany out there. And that's his first game action of the year, right?
Yes.
He just got activated.
Oh, he missed all of training camp.
Yep.
And then missed the first few weeks of the season as well before he even got to practice. And I was listening to TJ Lang talk about it this morning. And TJ was saying how remarkable it is that he's able to get himself up to speed here, basically by just running drills and stuff. Because once you get in the regular season, start getting through practices, you're not getting any reps.
Yeah.
The starters are getting all the reps. So this was like last week was the only week he got reps in practice, basically, aside from doing drills. And he's already kind of up to speed. Now, it's a work in progress. He doesn't know everything he's supposed to know, but he held his own. And something TJ said I thought was important. He said, Greg Glasgow's a starting guard. There's no question. He's the starting guard. But the fact that Mahogany got the nod over Keyote Awosika, who was the starting guard in the NFC Championship game for the team, tells you that there's been some serious progress. And then TJ said that he was talking to some of the defensive coaches and offensive coaches. Offensive coaches kind of downplayed what he was going to be and how he's looked. The defensive coaches did not. They said he was more than holding his own against some of the big boys that they have on that defensive line when those guys were healthy, when they were doing drills and stuff, and he's doing well against Aleem McNeil before he went out with an injury. That it was impressive. So this is a good sign.
Very encouraging.
Very.
The other one on the defensive side, Amik Robertson. Couple TFLs, one in the open field that was pretty big. I think Amik Robertson, look, we knew this is kind of one of those signings. This guy could be a nice addition. And I thought he stepped up yesterday as well. So feeling very, very good about some of the depth guys when given more opportunities coming through.
Definitely. I know I had a couple of notes about Robertson in the game where, it was the first drive in the second half for the Bears. that looked like Adunze had burned Amik Robinson, but then he comes right back and hits Swift for a loss of two.
Yeah,
so
and that was the open field one where it looked like it could be a big gainer, and it was basically Amik Robinson or nobody, and Robinson brought
He makes
down.
The play. Yep. It's like, okay, yuck, throw it in the garbage, right? Throw it in the rearview mirror. I got burned on a play. That's okay. I'll come and make the next play, and he does. And that's, again, supporting the run. That's what these guys do. It's great to watch.
For the game, Amik Robinson played 63 of 64 defensive snaps, 8 tackles, credited with 1 TFL. I thought he had 2, and 2 pass breakups. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback. More of your champ and chump votes when we continue here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 248-539-9797. You know, Gator, again, we talk about holding him up against a perfect standard, which is not fair. But, you know, I mean, Dan Campbell says after the game, we gotta shore some things. We got stuff we got to clean up is this wording. When the Lions had it first and goal from the one, when they ruled that Gibbs was down and it took them three rushes to get it in, this is where we're at. Where I'm like, ooh, do they miss David Montgomery here? Because they only scored on third down.
Right.
Yep.
It looked like, I don't know if it was first or second down, that Gibbs, if he just kept going a little bit to the right.
It was a weird-looking play.
Yeah, he would have had an easy lane just on the outside of the tackle to score the touchdown, but it looked like he tried to cut in a little bit and got held up. Well, who cares? They score.
You're talking about football first-world problems. Yeah, right. We're complaining that without David Montgomery, the Lions scored on third down from the one instead of first down.
They're just a little nervous. I don't like being nervous, guys. Yeah, no, they've got stuff to work on, but they still look really good.
But that was a statement touchdown, don't you think? Like, they're running it no matter what. Had he not gotten a third down, they were going to go for a fourth down.
They're going to go for a fourth, and they're going to run Gibbs.
Yep. I mean, I knew every single play. Once he didn't get it on the first down, I'm like, well, they're going to run it every time. Just to let everybody know, we can run with short yardage with Jameer. Like, we'll get it done. And I had no doubt in my mind it was going to be handoff.
I mean, it's not like I'm panicked about it. But again, when we hold them up to a perfect standard, that's one of the minor things you can bring up.
It's a hunch I have.
Let's hear it.
But it's a hunch I may play on Monday night for the game. I feel like we haven't had a Brock Wright sighting in a while where he makes a big play.
Okay.
I'm going to have to check it before, but I feel like making a bet on a Brock Wright anytime touchdown on Monday Night Football.
So we are a week away from that game, and Gator is calling one of the most random anytime touchdowns at one of the strangest times ever. A week out, he is calling a Brock Wright anytime touchdown. Now, let's think about this. You have no reason?
My reason is it just feels like it's been a while since Brock Wright made some like big play in the game, and it's about time.
I'll give you a reason. Who signed Brock Wright to the big offer sheet in the offseason?
Oh, San Francisco.
So think the Lions do a little, here's what you missed out on?
Yeah, yeah. You can't have him.
You can have tickets to Cancun, though, Niner fans. Cancun on 3.
Wow.
Hey, I'm sorry. Did they get eliminated this weekend? Oh, yeah, boy. They did.
How about the NFC West is just as bad as the NFC South? Oh, dude. What happened?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, obviously injuries have happened and made it. But then Tampa loses last night. Is there a three-way tie now with the Rams and Seattle? This is it's interesting. It's interesting football. It's no longer it doesn't feel like the NFC. When I saw the other teams in the hunt, I'm looking at it like, there's only a couple other teams, but then I realized, but everybody's in the hunt for the NFC West except for San Francisco.
To win the division.
No, yeah. I think Cardinals got eliminated yesterday, too. Like, half the division got eliminated yesterday, but they all have the same record. I didn't get it because I'm not paying that close attention to their tiebreakers and whatnot. But, yeah, the Cardinals are out. Niners are out. It's just between the Rams and the Seahawks.
Oh,
now.
Boy.
You might find it surprising, or perhaps you won't, that there is no line yet on a Brock Wright anytime touchdown 1 week from today.
I find that surprising.
I think he's under other.
Let's get back to your phone calls. We go to John in Mount Clemens. You're on 97 with a ticket. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. This is John. I'm a native of Kansas City. And like you guys, I love the Lion Love Fest. It's going to end in the Super Bowl. When they have to block Chris Jones, just remember that. Because the offensive line for the Lions the last four games has been terrible. And they only beat the Bears yesterday. You guys act like they won the Super Bowl.
I know
we did. I feel like beating
the
Bears.
They're only 13-2.
I feel like beating the Bears is equivalent to winning the Super Bowl, John. You have nailed it.
Well, my champ is the KC Chiefs going back again. And my chump is Brad Holmes for waving. Brandon Joseph, he made a mistake. We all make mistakes. They could have gave that boy a chance. He's only a second-year player. What does he do? He waves him. I hope Mike Tomlin signs him. Just like they did that other Lion player who got in trouble.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
He signed with the Steelers.
Right, and how's that working out for him?
He's playing good.
Is he? Or was he released like right away?
I mean, Gator, you know everything, Gator.
I don't know everything. I thought the guy didn't get released.
You never made a mistake, Gator?
He made a mistake, but understand this too, John. I'm not sure if that's why he got waived, or was he waived because...
That's why he got waived.
Hold on, John.
He got a DUI.
Hold on.
So don't try to make it like something else.
Or is it possible that they had to elevate other players to the active roster, and he gets squeezed.
What? Did a drone fall in the stadium and hit the people at the game? Come on, man. Stop making up fantasy.
Was Melon Fondo on the roster last week?
On top of that, honestly, I like
Brandon Joseph, yeah, by the way. But, I mean, if you're bringing up Melon Fondo to the active roster, am I wrong in this? Don't you have to find – now you got to get rid of somebody?
Brad Holmes is an elite general manager. I'm good with Brad Holmes' decisions.
I'm okay with it.
Yep. Beat the Bears and we're acting like the Lions won the Super Bowl. Yes. Yes, that's the message today, that the Lions have clearly clinched the Super Bowl with a win over Chicago. Is that what you're taking from this? Is that what you're taking from this? In fact, so you think we are overreacting, and yet Brad Holmes releasing a player who unfortunately is kind of, I mean, he is what he is. He's not, he's probably a fringe player.
Yeah. And look, Cameron Sutton is playing with Pittsburgh. He's played in seven games this year. He's got six tackles in the seven games.
And we always talk about the Lions' ability to cut down on the nonsense, and this might be part of it, but look, your champ and chump votes are in. And indeed, we're planning the parade based upon a win over the Bears.
And we're lamenting the loss of Cameron Sutton.
Let's go to Kyle, who's next on 97 on the ticket in Flint. Hello, Kyle.
Hello, good morning.
What's up?
My champ is Tony Anise from Ferris State, winning his third Division II championship in 4 years over the weekend.
There you go.
Dynasty.
And my chump would be the Seahawks for not beating the Vikings.
I hear that.
They've gotten quite a few votes. Now, the Ferris thing, they won big. Like, I had that. I don't know what the final was, actually. I had the game on, and they were up 21-0 quickly. Did they close it out big? I know they won, but did they run away and hide?
Yeah, it was a pretty big beating. Let me see if I can look up the.
And Valdosta was number one, correct? I think.
Correct.
Yeah. That's a big win.
Good for Ferris.
Yep.
They got a good program going.
Love it.
And now they're going to start to feel the squeeze of portal jumping because their players get noticed. If they have an outstanding player and someone's going to leave their program, doesn't mean they're going to go to the big dogs, but it means that they might go Division I.
Yeah. Division II to Division I is a pretty big leap, but it could happen.
But no, it happens.
Key is in Ann Arbor and next on 97 on the ticket. Hello, Key.
Good, man. How you guys?
We're great, Key. How are you?
Good, man. And my chump is that one guy that's got a real beef with Gator because he knows everything, you know?
Thank you.
talking about Brad Holmes. Brad Holmes is not walking on water, but he's in a hell of a yacht with his picks. But listen, I like to see that running back get in there, the multi-purpose guy. We won't say he's a punt returner or defensive back or running back. We don't know. We just know he's a football player by his by the draft status that they drafted him. I think they got a plan for him.
That's Kane's guy. That's Kane's guy. Sione Vaki, the truth.
What's his name?
Sione Vaki.
All right. Yep. Have a nice holiday.
Thank you.
Man, I really want to see some more Vaki.
So
he got out there a little bit. Hey, if anything, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, right? I mean, this guy, he's for a guy who's just been playing running back for only like a year and a half, maybe or so.
Mm-hmm.
He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think he's got to learn his pass protection probably more. You know, Craig Reynolds is probably ahead of him on the depth chart because that reason. But also, I think Vaki's really important on special teams. I doubt they'd want to lose him on some, you know, in the offense when they don't necessarily need him right now. And because he plays such a big role in special teams, but I'd love to see more Vaki.
248-539-9797. It's open lines. Carson Anderson, get your phone calls in. We will get to more of your champ and chump votes when we continue. 97.1 The Ticket. Lions fans, listen up. UMCU, the official credit union of the Detroit Lions, is celebrating its partnership with our city's gridiron heroes, including Jahmyr Gibbs. Big game for Jahmyr. Brian Branch, playmaker, and Terrion Arnold, getting better every week. And they got something amazing just for you, introducing the new Detroit Lions Black Debit Card. Hey, it's Doug. You want to show how you stuck with their team all along? How about getting the Black Debit Card with the Lions logo on? It's pretty sweet looking, and it's not just any card. It's designed for the true Lions fan who lives for every touchdown, every victory. And with the Lions rocking their new sleek black uniforms, you can match their energy with this exclusive debit card only available through UMCU. Ready to rep your pride? Becoming a UMCU member is quick and easy. I did it. Choose a Lions Black Debit Card or select from three other bold designs. Either way, you'll be carrying your Lions passion everywhere you go. UMCU has been a trusted partner in our community for over 70 years, and now you can join the winning team. Visit umcu.org today for details and get ready to show off your Lions spirit. Some restrictions apply, insured by NCUA. UNCU, where Detroit pride meets financial success. Dan Campbell following the Lions win over the Chicago Bears. Lions get a bit of their mojo back headed towards the playoffs. And look, you know, we've talked about it quite a bit. But as you get closer and closer to the postseason, your performances are more and more important. And that was a pretty big one. Now, Chicago isn't a great offensive team, but defense holding them to under 20 is exactly what you'd want them to do.
We won the Super Bowl.
Don't. Just don't. It's what? Not even worth.
What's what happened?
It's not even worth addressing. I always go back to either somebody sensitive and worried, or we're not doing a good job of expressing ourselves. But
or that's Chiefs just guy. That's Chiefs guy. Chiefs who's guy just tuning in.
Chiefs guy thinks that we are acting like the Lions won the Super Bowl with the win yesterday. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Pat and Romeo. You're next. Hi, Pat.
Morning, guys.
Hey.
So, champ, I got to go. I'm a Spartan. I got to give it to Cohen Carr, who has brought some energy to the Michigan State basketball program. I don't know if you guys saw the dunk, but that was awesome over the weekend.
It's ridiculous.
And then my chump, it's the College Football Committee. I mean, God, those games were just brutal for the weekend, considering it could have been such a great setup. You know, there's a part of me that would have loved to have seen, like, an Alabama go up and play Notre Dame and South Bend and see what happened there.
You know what the problem was? The problem with that is that Alabama wasn't good enough. So yeah, it would have been, I mean, been fun to watch Indiana, Alabama though, get their asses handed to them by Notre Dame and South Bend. That would have been great, but they weren't good enough. So Indiana had to do it, and they got beat up.
I think Alabama probably would have made that a more competitive game than Indiana.
I don't know.
That's just me.
If they were, they would have been in the playoff, but they just weren't good enough to be in the playoff. Neither was Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to do it like the basketball tournament, though, I mean, I hate to say it, they're going to have to base it off of, you know, just the quality of the teams. I mean, the fact that Oregon is getting
they lost to Vanderbilt.
Understood.
They lost to Oklahoma. I mean, they didn't belong in the playoff.
Quality of games.
They didn't belong in the playoff. Congratulations, you beat a big team, but you lost to bad teams.
What's really weird about the playoff is this has always been a problem. The average margin of victory in the semifinals in the last decade, when it was a 14 playoff, was 21 points a game.
Yeah.
The previous system led to blowouts. I don't know. I mean, well, I just, which is probably seating, a sign though, that it's too big.
The seeding, even, I think, is a little bit off. I think Oregon's kind of getting screwed and Penn State's getting hooked up.
Well, I think they might do, if they're going to do any tweaking, I suppose they can tweak with who the top four teams are that get byes. But, I mean, to not give it to conference champions seems like it's dumb.
I'm going to be so pissed if they tweak it, and here's why. Because literally they're going to tweak it where it would have made sense this year, and then next year it's going to be a completely different scenario. Like, we're reacting to the way it looks this year. And then next year, there are thousands upon thousands of scenarios that could play itself out at the end of the college football regular season. And people are seeking a perfect system. It doesn't exist. Okay? There might be some years where 12 teams is perfect. There might be some years where 5 teams would be perfect. But we don't... people are acting like it's the system... when there is no system that can every season account for every scenario and we go perfect.
I think just about every year they get the national champion right.
Well, I think
team that ends up winning the national championship is usually the best team in the country.
What I'm fearful of is that essentially the solution is going to be, we're going to make it 32 teams. And because then we'll have less complaining about the teams that are on the fringe. Because team 32 or 33 really doesn't deserve to be in anyway. I've said this for years. March Madness is one of the most entertaining things ever. But what other sport rewards teams that have no prayer or no business playing for a national championship into the tournament that determines the national champion?
It's people love the Cinderella story in basketball. I don't think they want it in football. Do you want to have that Cinderella story in football?
Well, if you did, then
somebody
you're a fan
upsets
of Indiana.
The big blood, and then yeah, I mean
SMU. I don't know, man.
But both those teams deserve to be there.
But
then you get to deserve versus which is the best. How are you going to tell me that one team is better than the other? You know, without looking at who deserves to be there, it's like the people that complain about it, whether it was Greg McElroy or whomever, you know, Sean McDonald, other people complaining about what was going on. It's like trying to divide it into two things as if they're two completely separate issues, the team that deserves to be in there versus the best 12 teams in the country. Well, the best 12 teams in the country also deserve to be there. So it's like it's the same thing in a way.
The format calls, like the seeding, the format calls for the four highest rated conference champions to get the four byes. If I were going to change anything, it would simply be put this next round of games on campus sites because the campus sites are awesome. It should be a benefit. And the seating gets tweaked. because Oregon,
all right, Doug.
Oregon, Georgia, Boise, and Arizona State locked up. They locked up the byes, and then everything has to fall in line behind that. When we all know Boise's not the third best team in the
and same thing with Arizona State.
I like that they are emphasizing conference championships. The problem is we've expanded the conferences so far. We're awarding conference championships to teams who've played only half their conference, which is ridiculous.
Right, because the conferences have gotten too big,
and the conference champions are being crowned with less evidence that they're worthy than ever before. But sure, your vote counts for the committee. Yeah, we got you now. Yeah,
look, I'm fine with how they chose the 12 teams. Now, is part of that because I'm smiling ear to ear that the SEC got left out with a couple teams that they thought deserved to be there? Sure. But as I quickly point out, if you're Alabama, how about you don't lose to one of the worst teams in the history of college football year in and year out, even though Vanderbilt had a better year this year? Well, they were pretty good for Vanderbilt. They weren't good, but good for Vanderbilt for springing up and beating Alabama. But if you're Alabama, you can't lose that game and expect to play. If you're Ole Miss, you can't slay a dragon and then go ahead and lose to Kentucky, who sucks. You can't do that and expect to be in there.
I can see a world where a 2 or 3 loss SEC team gets in over a 1-loss team from another conference.
Yes,
I can
see that, sure.
But in this year, they deemed that Bama team wasn't worth it. Now, Bama at Notre Dame, Georgia at Notre Dame, like some of those SEC teams having to deal with that weather, I would have loved it. I would have loved it, but I'm not going to force it just to see it.
You know, I think it's people make a lot out of because Indiana got in and then they got beat up pretty good for most of the game by Notre Dame. And then Indiana scored late, recovered an onside kick and made things interesting. You know, I guess it was still, but it ends up being a 10-point loss. They got beat pretty good by Notre Dame. It was a bad matchup for Indiana to match up against Notre Dame. I think Indiana's a good football team. They're not a great football team, but they're good enough where they deserve to be in there. If you put Indiana against a one-dimensional team like Boise State, do they have a chance to beat Boise State?
They might, yeah.
I mean, you put them against Arizona State, and these are two teams that are in the top four, by the way.
Indiana's getting the bulk of the criticism, but you know what the difference between Alabama and Indiana's strength of schedule was?
Oh, it's got to be, I would imagine, it's huge because Alabama was in the SEC.
According to the ESPN's football percentage index, the strength of schedule for Alabama was 22nd. Indiana was 32nd.
It's not that much of a difference.
And you know, Indiana's resume was light. And truth is, so is Notre Dame's. But
is that before going into it, or is that after the fact? Is that like right now up to the date? Because they now Indiana's got a game against Notre Dame where they lost. Because Indiana only played Ohio State during the course of the season.
Fair question, and I'm trying to see if when they updated it.
And I get the criticism against Indiana.
I do too.
What I don't get is the undying love and support of the SEC. Those teams that aren't in are not in for a reason. They're not the best and brightest of the SEC right now.
Let's go to Kevin in Lake Orion. You're next. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good. Yeah, I got my champ and chump. They're a little bit more personalized, but I got Jonathan Smith for champ. I really like what he's been doing in the portal. They just got a Wisconsin former four-star linebacker to transfer to state. He's out of Hawaii. And then he's also been doing some really good, just pick up little things here and there. Obviously, they're not five-star guys, but they got to recreate that team from last year already. I mean, and the portal is going to be the key to doing it. So I like what he's done. And then Chump is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for screwing up my 25-pick parlay that I had this weekend.
Oh, what? A 25-pick parlay?
Come on.
Yes, for $15,000.
Come on.
You got 24 of the 25?
I am dead serious. 24 of the 25. Yes, I did.
Were these? Let me ask you this. Were a lot of these money line picks? You just picking the winner? Okay.
So I did.
A little mix and match.
I did the money line on all the games. And then I threw in Lamar Jackson to have 175 yards passing or whatever, you know, like those types of picks.
Gotcha. Some safer picks, but nonetheless, 25 is incredible to do. And it all came down to the Buccaneers and the Cowboys game?
Yeah. Yeah. Needless to say, when that screw up at the end with Baker Mayfield, oh my God, I could have thrown the TV through the window.
For those who didn't see, Tampa came roaring back at the end, had a chance. They had the ball. Baker Mayfield gets rushed. He starts to squeeze out of the rush and somehow is able to flip the ball to a running back. I think it was White. He gets the ball, starts going, and then gets tackled. And as he's going down, the Cowboys strip the ball out, recover it, and take it back for 6 points with like a minute.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds left in the game. So
it was something. 24?
Yeah, that's impressive. I don't care that if people might poo-poo it. Oh, well, you're just picking money line. Yeah, okay. Dude. But he did it 24 times.
Dude, I don't believe him. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure.
That's, 20? No, I'm not. And I feel like it should be more than $15,000.
Well, but here's
when
why.
He bet like 5 cents?
But you heard what he said. One of the bets was passing yards plus ones over 175 for Lamar Jackson. That's not a big. That's not going to be a payout. You know, that's not going to be a plus number, right?
Who does a 25 pick parlay
when you're picking smaller things?
Have you done this before, Gator?
I haven't done this, but I've often thought about: is this a smart strategy if you're going to do a parlay bet where you take obvious things like Jahmyr Gibbs rushing over 30 yards? The over/under might be set at like 75, but if you can, you know, keep hitting the app and get it down to 30 or whatever it is. So, you know, your payout is, it's like minus 350 or something like that to get that because there's not much of a payout because, of course, he's going to hit that number. If you do a bunch of those, they all add up.
I got to just say, for the record, I don't think as a show we want to take calls from people who just missed their parlays. Can we agree on that? Should we not do that?
Yeah.
But
it feels like Monday is set up for
it
that.
I feel like it's all we do is take calls from people of, here's the bet I just missed on. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.